This is the short edition of More or Less, first broadcast on the BBC World Service.
Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. I'm Ruth Alexander. On this week's programme, we're going to be talking about China.
After nearly 40 years, China has abandoned its one-child policy. The announcement that all couples...
The policy was first introduced in 1979, but from March next year, China's one-child policy will come to an end. It was originally implemented to prevent the Chinese population from becoming too large, and as a result, in 2006, the Chinese government claimed that the policy had prevented 400 million births, a statistic which has been widely reported by news organisations across the world. But how accurate is this number?
I'm always very wary of these kind of statistical estimates. I don't think that we ever can really know the impact of the policy for several reasons. China's birth rate started decreasing prior to the one-child policy being implemented.
Stephanie Gordon is an academic from the University of Leicester in the UK. Now, the Chinese assertion that the policy prevented 400 million births is based on the assumption that the country's fertility rate, the average number of children a woman can expect to give birth to, would have remained stable at around 3 children per woman. Without the one-child rule, the Chinese claim their population would now be 30% bigger, meaning it would be closing in on 1.7 billion people, instead of today being around 1.3 billion. But as data from the UN shows, even before 1979, China's fertility rate was actually falling because it was also becoming richer. In 1960, a Chinese woman on average could expect to have 6.1 children during her lifetime. In 1970, the fertility rate had fallen to 4.7 children. And by 1980, just a year after the one-child policy was enacted, the fertility rate had fallen again to 2.7 children.
Countries in general, almost all of them, see decreasing birth rates in line with modernisation and economic prosperity as well as educational improvements. So there's nothing to say the one-child policy per se had a greater impact than a modernisation of the country.
Data from the World Bank also shows that since the policy was introduced, China's fertility rate never actually fell to being one child per woman. The reason for this is that despite the vigorous enforcement of the policy in urban parts of the country, in rural communities, parents have often been allowed to have a second child to help work on a farm or if their first child born was a girl. Looking at the data, China's fertility rate reached its lowest point in the year 2000, when it fell to 1.5 children per woman. And since then, it's actually been climbing, despite the policy still being in force, and it now stands at 1.7 children per woman.
A team of communist officials arrived in this village. They were searching for women who'd broken China's strict one-child-per-family rule. Zhu Hongying was 8 months pregnant with her second child.
They took me to the clinic and injected something into my stomach. When the baby came out, it was dead.
That was the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reporting from China in 2005 about the issue of forced abortions. The charity All Girls Allowed claims that nearly all of the 13 million abortions that take place each year in China are forced. To help us try to get a handle on the figures, I've been joined in the studio by David Rhodes from the More or Less team. First of all, David, have we got any precise figure for how many abortions, forced or not, have been carried out in China since the one-child policy began?
Well, we should say, Ruth, that forced abortions in China are illegal under Chinese national law, although there is evidence, as we've heard, to suggest that in some parts of the country they have happened. But in terms of the overall number of abortions carried out in China, we know that in 2013, the People's Daily, that's the Communist Party's official newspaper, reported that the Chinese National Health and Family Planning Commission declared that between 1973 and 2012, 271 million abortions were carried out. But crucially, these figures don't offer a breakdown of how many of those abortions were forced and how many were voluntary. Those types of numbers aren't published, even if they are collected, and estimates by academics and campaigners about the number of forced abortions should be treated as just that, estimates.
But it certainly sounds that a very large number of abortions take place in China. Can we put these numbers in any sort of context?
Yes, well, let's compare the number of abortions that have taken place in China with the number in America over a similar period. Since 1973, when abortion was legalised by the US Supreme Court, there have been over 50 million abortions carried out in the United States. But remember, in terms of population size, the US is a quarter of the size of China. So to make a better comparison, let's look at the abortion rate, and we'll start with China. Data from the United Nations shows that in 2013, for every 1,000 women in the country aged between 15 and 44 years of age, there were 19.2 abortions carried out. Now, in the United States, their abortion rate was actually slightly higher. In the US, the abortion rate stood at 19.6 abortions for every 1,000 women aged between 15 and 44. But the country with the highest abortion rate in 2013 was actually Russia. In Russia, there were 37.4 abortions per 1,000 women of childbearing age. But that has a lot to do with the idea that Russians culturally use abortion as a form of birth control rather than other forms of contraception. So given the data we have, we can conclude that yes, numerically, there are lots of abortions each year in China. But in relation to other countries, China's abortion rate, whilst being above the global average, is certainly not one of the highest rates in the world. But we certainly don't know how many of these abortions were forced.
Thanks, David.
Tens of billions of pounds has been wiped off the value of shares in the UK and across the world in response to fears about the state of the Chinese economy. Chinese media calling today Black Monday. The exchanges in China.
In August, the Chinese stock market crashed. A very public display of fragility within the Chinese economy, an economy that contributes at the moment a quarter of the world's yearly economic growth. Geoffrey Hodgson is a research professor at the University of Hertfordshire in the UK.
China's demographic profile currently is extremely fortunate because of a relatively low number of people of young age and also a relatively low number of people over working age, over 65. But this is going to change dramatically in the next 20 or 30 years as both sets of dependents increase dramatically.
And this is why Chinese parents from next March will be allowed 2 children. China needs more people to support an ageing population and to maintain its current level of economic growth, which has reached around 6.5% a year. And even a fast and dynamic growing economy like China's can't offset the effects of a shrinking and ageing population.
The analogy I use of an athlete or a runner is no matter how fit that athlete is, if you increase the burden on his or her back, that will slow him or her down. And that's the problem with China. It is dynamic. It is increasing its productivity rate. But this burden, this increasing burden, is inevitable.
Let's finish with one final statistic. According to the World Bank projections, India will overtake China in the next decade to become the world's most populous country with 1.4 billion people. With China now ending its one-child policy, will that still happen?
The crossover point will happen in the future, but it may not be 2020 or 2025. It may come a little bit later. The crossover point will depend on whether we can predict human behaviour.
That's Dr. Athena Vlachitoni, a demographer from the University of Southampton in the UK. And the human behaviour Dr. Vlachitoni refers to is simply, will women in China who are now able to have a second child choose to have one?
The women who can benefit, so to speak, from this change in policy are themselves the product of the one-child family policy. So it's women who were born in the 80s and 90s. If there is an increase in the fertility rate, we shouldn't be expecting it to be really sudden.
That's all we've got time for this week. But if you have any numbers you'd like us to look at, please do contact us on moreorless@bbc.co.uk. Our website is bbc.com/moreorless.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.